is still part of the prelude music, so keep watching the slides, but we're going to sing to you It Is Well With My Soul, I think. We know where Rod is. He went to get a drink. Thank you all for coming. This is a day where we are to celebrate Stephanie Parker's life. And while we grieve, and we are grieving, at the shortness of her life, we must remember the fullness of her life. For God blessed Stephanie with a very full and active life. So, welcome. I know some of you are just getting your seats. I'm so grateful for the Vineyard Church offering their wonderful facility for us here today. It's just such a blessing. I'd like to start with a word of prayer, and then we're going to continue with some music. Lord God, as we come together this morning, we very much need your help. We need your help to see beyond what we see right here and look into eternity, to look into heaven, and see Stephanie in your presence and the singing she's doing there, the praising. She's reunited with loved ones that have gone on before. Yet we need your comfort and help here right now today. So Lord, give us your strength, walk the aisles, give us the hugs we need by your Spirit. And let everything we say or sing or do bring honor to a dear friend, my daughter-in-law Stephanie, but also glory to you, Jesus, for you did a wonderful work in her life. And we praise you and give you all the honor and glory that's due your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Stephanie had written down some thoughts, knowing this day was coming, and I can tell you very honestly, while she obviously wanted to beat cancer, God had a different plan, and it was his plan to call her home. We don't understand the timing of these things, but cancer did not defeat Stephanie. I want you to know that. It may have continued in her body in a cellular state, however cancer works. I'm not a doctor. But it did not beat the person of Stephanie. Stephanie conquered cancer with the help of God. And so she wrote some things down, and these are some of the songs she wanted us to sing in celebration of her going to be with her Lord and Savior Jesus. And I think she knew these songs would help us in dealing with our pain and grief at this time. So we're going to sing together Amazing Grace. It's been kind of re-edited with a new chorus added by Chris Tomlin and others. And I would like you to stand with us as you do that. I'm a music guy. You sing better when you stand. Let's sing this great traditional hymn. Okay, we'll go. Forever Mine, amen. This next song was one of Stephanie's favorite songs. And it was released. It was written and released not long after Stephanie was diagnosed with cancer. And I know with so many people here this morning, cancer has probably touched every family here and one family member or another. And just the C word itself has such a deadening impact on us when we hear that diagnosis. It's a hope stripper, I call it. And that's a bad thing, because my Bible tells me I have hope in Christ. And yet, it's obviously the toughest diagnosis, maybe, probably not the toughest, but it's a tough one. The song was released, and I listened to it, and our church music group here started learning it. And the chorus goes, "Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God." Well, we all fought hard. I know many of you did from a distance. We fought in prayer, we fought medically, and cancer kept going. So where's God the healer in that? I'm a pastor. I have to wrestle with that. Where's God the healer in that? Well, the Bible does give us a broader picture of all this, and
The theological term is God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty. God isn't a genie in a bottle, and if we just pray, God, I really want this, he's going to do it. But he has a plan for me. He has a plan for you. He had a plan for Stephanie. He has a plan for Jeff. And in his plan, in his timing, he was going to call Stephanie home now, just a week ago, last Sunday night. We don't understand that. We can't see the full picture from our point of view, but God can see it. And yet the healing is more than just the cancer healing. I'm watching God heal family members emotionally. I'm letting God heal me. I'm watching God heal you. Because we're a lot bigger than the physical. We're spiritual. We have a soul. And Stephanie's soul's literally, I believe, in the arms of Jesus right now. So the healer is going on. I loved watching Stephanie sing this piece. We don't have floodlights in Shiloh Chapel. And so we can actually see the people that are only 5 feet away from us in our little room. And Stephanie would just sing this with all her heart. And we all sang it with all our heart. And Jesus called her home. Wayne Watson years ago wrote a piece, and the line in it is, the ultimate healing is to be home free, is to be with Jesus. Stephanie has entered into that actual ultimate healing. So if you know this, I know you'll sing it well with us. If not, you're in, I think, for a real special piece. This is Our God. You're also tender and gentle. You are a healer. And we invite you now, as we remember Stephanie's life, we celebrate her life, that you heal our hearts. We feel wounded. We're hurting. So come here and speak to us, Lord, right now, through each one who shares, through everything. Jesus, may you be glorified. Amen. You may be seated. I call it an interesting challenge this morning, because I stand before you in the dual roles that I hold here. I was Stephanie's pastor for about a year before I was Stephanie's father-in-law, and that was a good journey. That was a good journey. Stephanie came into our lives, the Parker family lives, rather quickly and suddenly and wonderfully, which actually is how a lot of the ways that Stephanie did things, quickly and wonderfully. And Jeff and Steph met through an internet website, and they started dating, and it was instant love, right off quick. And we saw that. Jeff's a pretty happy guy normally, but all of a sudden Jeff was really happy. And he says, you got to meet her, you're going to like her. And I said, well, what's she like, Jeff? She's like Aunt Carol. And that's my sister Carol, and I love my sister Carol, and she's very bubbly. There are similarities, there truly are. And we met Stephanie. It was actually my youngest son Jeff's birthday, and she came to our house, went to church with Jeff, and then we all gathered at our house after church, and we did instantly fall in love with her. But before that, Stephanie grew up in Fitchburg, Mass. Mario and Amy are here. I hope you will meet them. If you have to go right after the service, do meet the family before you go. But they had twins. They were surprised when their first child became first children at the moment of delivery, Stephanie and Emily. And if you were here last night, I hope you had a chance to go through the photo albums and things out in the foyer. If you don't, you'll have time this afternoon. And then actually after the committal, we'll bring all that over to the fellowship hall at Shiloh Chapel as well. So take your time and look through those. But raising twins, its own challenges. And then because God has a sense of humor, they gave him Andrew. And I've heard stories and seen the pictures. This was a fun family. Speaking now, Lois and I, as a couple, we've grown to love this family. We've walked down a very difficult road with them. They are very dear to us. I love you guys. You are an awesome family. Identical twins. Emily graduated, and Stephanie with her, at Fitchburg High School in the year 2000. Stephanie went on to St. Joseph's College, and even though they had vacationed in Maine, that became her connection to living and staying in Maine, because after she graduated with a Bachelor of Science degree, she started working and teaching with special needs children, and very quickly became involved with a wonderful family, and in my opinion, became an expert on a little-known but fast-growing subject, autism. And I can remember, this was about maybe a year and a half ago, Jeff was working on a Sunday, and after church, we had lunch at my house, but on this particular Sunday, my mentor, Dr. Bob Fredericks, had spoken there, and then he came down and had lunch with us, and it was me and Lois and Stephanie and Dr. Bob. And Dr. Bob starts asking Stephanie what's important to her and these kind of things, and she took off on autism. And Dr. Bob went, I don't know a lot about this. I hear about it more and more. It wasn't a word. And Dr. Bob was in his 80s then. He said, it wasn't a word I grew up with. This is a newer diagnosis. I'm learning. And that was our lunchtime. All of us were learning about autism. That was a really neat time. Stephanie was so knowledgeable. Stephanie worked at the Achieve School, Bridges of Maine, the Reach School. Achieve was the last one. Am I correct, Jeff? And that was in Bath, and I've just got to say, it's in my thank you credits at the end too, but those of you from the Achieve School, your ministry to Jeff and Steph was incredible. They counted up, and it was 2 billion meals you guys brought. No, I'm kidding. But you brought a lot of food, and it was that is not quickly forgotten. Thank you for all your love and ministry in that way. Stephanie was a 25-year member of the Girl Scouts. She earned her Gold Award in 2000. She would share stories with us about her Girl Scout days. And Stephanie had something I'll never have, a good memory. She remembered every song she ever learned. She knew it well. And then as two of my grandchildren, Carrie and Caleb, were growing up, Stephanie was teaching them different camp songs and this stuff. It was so much fun. Again, out in the foyer, you'll notice a plaque there. This year, Stephanie was chosen as Alumni of the Year from St. Joseph's College for the year 2012. She was very proud and very humbled to receive that award. And when she told us that, she called us up all excited. And I thought, thank you, God. Stephanie was absolutely deserving. Whoever worked in that process, I thank you. That was right on. In the newspaper, it said, Stephanie was happiest being with her many nieces and nephews and the children of her friends whom she loved dearly. They made her laugh and smile with joy even on the darkest days. There's a lot said there in just two sentences. Kids were everything to Stephanie. And just in the last year and change, she received 3 more nieces and nephews, which she loved dearly, and you'll see that in the pictures too. So as God blessed her, even though she and Jeff, in God's timing and plan, did not have children, she was surrounded by the kids that, even though she was aunt and nanny to them, she was so much part of their world and family. This is a sharing time. I think what I really wish we could do, and it's a little difficult to do, I wish you could be in my living room, or I wish you could be in Mario and Amy's living room, and we could just share our memories together. But our living rooms aren't big enough. That's why we're here. But we're going to share a little bit. And if you have a short story that you think of that you'd like to share, you think, I'm not really cool getting up in front of a big group. I'm not either. That's why I pastor a little church. But if you would come up here, we are videotaping this, so people who aren't here can see this tribute to Stephanie's life. But a couple people are prepared to share, and they're two very important people in Stephanie's world. And the first is her dad, Mario. So come on up here, my friend. You bet.
Thank you, Ron. If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am now. Stephanie enjoyed watching movies, and her favorite movie by far was Christmas Vacation, starring Chevy Chase and Randy Quaid. In the movie, the main character, Clark Griswold, had just gotten the 25,000 Christmas lights he installed in his house to work when his wife's deadbeat cousin Eddie showed up in his RV to spend Christmas with him. Eddie asks Clark if he's surprised to see him, and Clark replies, "If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am now." It may seem strange, but I can't think of a more appropriate way to describe the feelings we all experienced that July day 2 years ago when Stephanie was first diagnosed with cancer. It was very much like waking up with our heads sewn to the carpet. We were confused, frightened, helpless, and angry. In the months that followed, the helplessness and confusion slowly dwindled, but for me, the anger was still there. One Sunday morning after Mass, I approached our parish priest, Father Ortiz, and asked him outright, why us? Why our family? We were good people. At least I thought we were. Without hesitation, he answered, Jesus has given you part of his cross to carry. He knows that you can handle it, and he also knows that there are many people who will help you with this burden. The man who helped Jesus carry his cross was Simon from Cyrene. And over the past 2 years, I have met that man several times over. He is here today. Just look around and you will see him. He is everywhere. He was in Massachusetts when we did fundraising events. He is in the Fitchburg Youth Soccer League program, Girl Scouts, and St. Anthony's School. He was in envelopes that Stephanie and Jeff received containing financial help. He is here in Maine at Midcoast Hospital, Shiloh Chapel, Sister's Wish, the Dean Snell Foundation, and of course, hospice. He is in the old friends that continually step forward to help Stephanie and Jeff. He was in a simple card or letter or phone call. He is you. I have thought about Father Ortiz's answer many times over the past 2 years, and I have concluded that Stephanie was also Simon of Cyrene. She was a cross bearer for many people throughout her short life. She spent her spring breaks at St. Joseph traveling to Philadelphia to work in a soup kitchen for homeless people, people whose crosses were so heavy they could no longer move forward. During her senior year at St. Joe's, she began working with children with autism. She spent countless hours on and off the clock, helping to perhaps lift a small burden off the shoulders of these children's parents. There were three young men in particular that she was most fond of, and she always referred to them as her boys. Sometimes she would call me on her way home from work, and I would ask her what she was doing, and she would tell me she was taking one of her boys to the baseball game in Portland. When my sister passed away, she reached out to my brother-in-law, Sean, and helped him to set up fundraising walks and golf tournaments to raise money for leukemia. She actually moved away from Maine for a short period of time back to Massachusetts to work at an institution that specialized in autism. It was a higher paying job with better benefits. She left that job after a few months because she felt a lack of interest on the part of the parents whose children she was helping. She returned to Maine and began working at the Reach School for special needs children. From there, she moved on to a program called Achieve, which helped children with special needs find their way back into the classroom. Stephanie was indeed a Simon. Jeff, one of Stephanie's other favorite movies, of course, was Armageddon. And in the words of the immortal Harry Stamper, I am damn proud to have you as a son-in-law. When my father-in-law passed away, he told Stephanie that he hoped she would find a wonderful man just like her mother had. Jeff, I want you to know she did way better than that. I love you for many reasons, but I love you the most because on your wedding day, you made a promise to my daughter, and you kept that promise. You've all heard the term, when God closes a door, he opens a window. Over the past 2 years, he closed a door and not only opened one window, but actually opened three windows. Greta Beazall, Harry Parker, and Eleanor Abad. Greta, Henry, and Eleanor, as you grow up, you are going to be told elaborate stories about your Auntie Nani by your parents. These stories will make her seem bigger than life, and that's because she really was. Your parents will tell you that she was really a pirate queen visiting us from the 15th century. Greta and Eleanor will be told by Andrew and Emily that Auntie Nani was the boss of everything when she was a child. She was, quote unquote, the queen. They will tell you stories of a pink crayon, the balloon ride at Storyland, and that she holds the record for the most times anyone has ridden the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disney World. When the three of you get old enough, you will ask, what happened to your Auntie Nani? And your parents will tell you that Jesus loved you so much, she made her a special angel to watch over you forever. Thank you.
Very beautifully written, Mario. Thank you so much. And Stephanie's a writer like you. I can't write two sentences correctly, but that was beautiful. Corinne, I can't see you through the floodlights, but you are here. There you are, dear. Come on up. Corinne is one of the many friends that gave and gave and gave and gave to our Stephanie, so thank you.
My deepest condolences to Jeff, Amy, Mario, Emily, Andrew, and the extended family of the Beazall and Parker families. For those of you who don't know, Stephanie and I met after her time at St. Joseph's College in 2004. She needed an apartment, and my current roommate, Emily, and I needed another roommate. We decided to allow Stephanie to move in on a trial basis for a few reasons. We had our doubts about her. She was very loud, even in her interview. She ate the strangest meals we had ever seen. Carrots, tuna, mustard, and cottage cheese, all mixed together in a big bowl. And then she made these yummy noises as she sat there and ate them. Third, she was a little spastic about everything and had these hand movements and dances she would do. We didn't know quite what to make of her. So one day, after she had told us for the millionth time that she was a twin, and her favorite movie was My Big Fat Greek Wedding, we proceeded to come up with our own elaborate story and tell her that Emily, our roommate, was supposed to be a twin as well. And incidentally, they had found teeth and a spinal column attached to her coccyx, which was a line right out of her supposed favorite movie. She stood there wide-eyed, nodding, saying, "Oh my, what did they do?" Well, they couldn't stop there, so I said, "Well, there wasn't much they could do, Steph, but it makes them a little crazy from time to time, so don't bring it up. The absorption of the other twin and the hormones, it's not a good thing." eventually I came clean, and she became a permanent fixture in my life, and really the little sister I never had. I tell you that piece of my history because it was seemingly insignificant that at that time, but it changed our lives forever. In February, Stephanie asked me to speak when this time came. I asked what she'd like me to say, and she said, "You'll know." I think my response was something along the lines of, "Are you kidding me? I'll have no idea what to say." And she just laughed and said, "You always have something to say. Just wing it." And I said, "Steph, I can't just wing it. Seriously, you don't wing something like that."
Some of us do.
She smiled again and said, "You'll know what to say." So I thought about all of our time over the past 8 years. And when I say 8 years, it doesn't seem like a long time, but quite honestly, it seems like she's been along by my side all along. Mm-hmm. My first draft was full of funny stories, but that didn't seem right. My second draft had the 5 things I learned from Stephanie, but then that quickly became 10 and then 12, and, well, we would have been here all day. And then I tried one-liners, like Stephanie loved to celebrate, whether it was the 4th of July or National Talk Like a Pirate Day, but that seemed wrong too. So now I've done my best to make her proud. I found a poem. It's called The Dash by Linda Ellis. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from beginning to the end. He noted that the first came the date of her birth and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represented all the time that she spent alive on the earth. And now only those who loved her know what that little line was worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, or the cash. What matters most is how we live and love and how we spent our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real and always try to understand the way other people feel and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. And if we treat each other with respect and wear often a smile more, remembering that this special dash might only last a while more. So when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things you say about how you spent your dash? Stephanie spent her dash wisely. My dear friend was wise beyond her years.
Yeah.
She went on to use her sociology degree to help children with autism and severe emotional and behavioral disabilities. She worked days, nights, weekends, and holidays. She continued volunteer work, helping on Spring Break Workfest at St. Joseph's College and Habitat for Humanity. She took every opportunity she had to be around children. Children, in Stephanie's eyes, were God's greatest gift. As Stephanie and I grew closer in our 20s, she was there to support me with my own illness. She was by my side for trips to the ER, phone calls to pick up my spirits, cards for no reason, and a shoulder for me to cry on. Boy, was I lucky to have found such an amazing friend.
Yeah.
And the thing that always amazed me was that Stephanie did not just do these things for me. She did them for everyone.
Yeah.
She did them for anyone. She held everyone's hand. In our early 20s and mid-20s, we did our best to navigate life. We tried to figure out how life worked, and we didn't do so well at first. But then all of a sudden, we got the hang of it. We learned to communicate how we were feeling, to be careful with our hearts. On to precious friendships and to support each other through the good, the bad, and the ugly. Then all of a sudden, life seemed to come together for us. Stephanie met Jeffrey, and boy, was she the smitten kitten. She loved him from the first day they met. They dated, and soon, on her birthday at Shiloh, Jeffrey proposed. And boy, was she elated. She called me and said, "We have to have the wedding in May. We just don't have much time." And that struck me as odd, and I remember just saying to people, "What does she mean? She doesn't have much time." But we planned the wedding in a hurry. We loved talking about wedding planning. And at her wedding, Stephanie and Jeff danced. And one of the lyrics from their wedding song says, "Now you're my whole life, now you're my whole world, and I just can't believe the way I feel about you. Like a river meets the sea, stronger than it's ever been. We've come so far since that day, and I thought I loved you then." We all watched and thought to ourselves, what an amazing couple, what amazing strength, and how far have they come? Jeff had also battled with illness, and Stephanie had been so supportive. Pastor Ron said at their wedding, Lois, Jeffrey's mother, had prayed for Jeffrey to find Stephanie. And Stephanie felt just so blessed to become a Parker that day. It was such an amazing and important moment in her life. Stephanie continued to love with all of her heart. She gained nieces and nephews, new friends and family. Stephanie continued to support and those around her when we needed a sympathetic ear or a shoulder to cry on. And I guess that's why, in the summer of 2010, when she told us she wasn't feeling well and was admitted to Midcoast, it was so easy and natural for us to be by her side. This necklace was given to me on 7-8-10. Stephanie had just found out that she did in fact have cancer. We met with a social worker briefly, and she came in with a large basket of necklaces. She had us each pick one. We looked at the basket and chose carefully, and the social worker then told us, Stephanie had picked a stone that meant courage, and I had picked a stone that meant strength. She told us that we would need both of these traits over the next few months. I thought, few months. The words resonated in my mind. Stephanie said, "That's just so nice of them." See, Stephanie never took anything for granted and always saw the bright side. She was so full of gratitude. We quickly made a plan and swapped our stones for the next week. And her courage stone became my something borrowed from my wedding just 2 days later. When I returned, we swapped back. And thankfully, that social worker was wrong. We did not need courage and strength for the next few months. We needed it for the next 2 years. I was never so grateful to have someone be wrong. Stephanie was amazing. She handled the treatment, the illness, the prognosis, all with optimism, hope, authenticity, and the understanding that each day, each hour, each minute was a gift. You live your life very differently when you realize this. All of a sudden, we weren't afraid to tell each other every time we spoke that we loved one another. Or if we had a question, we asked it. Our friendship became incredibly intimate in a way I never imagined possible. And suddenly, I was able to return all of those wonderful favors Stephanie had always done for me. And yet, even in the face of her illness, she had not stopped doing wonderful things for others. The girl was unstoppable. She would send cards to I don't even know how many people a week. I'm sure many of you received a card from Stephanie. She would pick up little gifts here and there for people because there was always a baby coming or an anniversary or a birthday. She would call, text, and leave voicemails so long that she would need to call back and leave a second voicemail to finish what she needed to say. Stephanie was not just a young woman who worked in a school with children with disabilities or with autism. Stephanie was a gift from God.
Yeah.
She was a kind soul full of empathy for others who dedicated her life in service. She was a true Christian whose faith never wavered. Oh. She was a generous and giving soul.
Very.
She was a loyal friend, and she was very real. She was a courageous warrior. Stephanie made her dash worthwhile. She knew it wasn't about the money, the cars, or the house. She spent her dash full of life and love. She always wore a smile when most people in the world would not.
Yeah.
And she loved more than I ever thought was possible. So how will you spend your dash? Will you carry on where Stephanie left off? Will you send a card out this week to someone who could use some words of encouragement or make a meal for a friend in need? Will you volunteer some of your time for others less fortunate? Will you remember to thank God for your health? Will you hold your children a little closer or play with them a few minutes longer? Because that's what Stephanie would want from all of us, to make our dash worthwhile.
Yeah. Thank you, Corinne. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That was beautiful. Thank you, my dear. Well, unlike Mario and Corinne, not totally, but I am going to wing it. I have written in my notes about a dozen words or phrases that to me describe Stephanie. And if you are around her much, they'll probably trigger memories with you as well. The first I put down was Stephanie was one who had, I really mean this, perfect manners. She always said please. She always said thank you. She always did everything correctly. And in our house, we're a close family where, no offense to Lois, Lois trained my boys well, but manners were good, but they weren't that good. But Stephanie helped us to learn manners. And then with Carrie and Caleb, Tom and Rachel's two kids, as they were the eldest of her nieces and nephews, she would teach them manners. And Carrie and Caleb have very different personalities, very different temperaments. Carrie's very sensitive, and she's a thinker and a processor. Caleb is full steam ahead. Look out. And he has like an on-off switch. He's full speed ahead, and then he's exhausted, and he stops. You've seen it in some of the pictures here. Stephanie never hid a feeling with her face. Her face was always entirely expressive of approval or disapproval. And just the last night Stephanie was at our home, we had dinner together. It was a week ago Wednesday. And at the end of our little table in our dining room was Stephanie and Caleb. And Caleb was not having a great day. He was a little off that day. Stephanie was not feeling well. She was not feeling well at all, but she wanted to sit up the table. And I wish I'd had pictures of Stephanie and Caleb and their interaction during those minutes at the table. Because Caleb wasn't as, I'll be gentle, Tom and Rachel are here, but Caleb was in rare form. But Auntie Nani loved Caleb, and he was not going to go get away with anything with Auntie Nani sitting right there. I've never known anyone who could do crafts like Stephanie. Probably some of you could compete. Woe to your households. But she loved crafts. She surrounded herself with them. And because she was a gift person, I'm familiar with Dr. Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages. Any of you familiar with that? I'm familiar with it. I use it with couples, and it's a great book. Go home and read it. You'll all of a sudden figure out your spouse and your kids in a whole new light. But in his five love languages, one of them is gifts, giving and receiving gifts. When we had spent our first afternoon with Stephanie at our home, I told Jeff after she went home, I said, Jeff, your life is easy. Stephanie's love language is gifts, and you better not forget it. Because Stephanie always came with gifts. Gifts for us, gifts for the kids. Often it was something she'd made or created. It wasn't a dollar value thing. Don't go down that road. That wasn't Stephanie. But it was a very personal thing. It was a very caring thing. Gifts, gifts. Even as she became sicker from her illness, The thank you cards were always within 24 hours of the event of the gift. Thank you cards, and they were personal thank you cards written in her beautiful, expressive handwriting. Some of my memories with Stephanie involved chemo days. I would, because of Jeff's rotating shift with Walmart, I would end up driving her from time to time to the MCCM, the cancer center, for her chemo times, and I'd get to sit with her, and she would take out her quilt and get in a routine, and they would start the IV and the chemo. And we'd visit for, I'm going to say, about 15, 20 minutes, and then Stephanie would fall asleep, and she would sleep through a lot of that. Stephanie would always apologize to me like this wasn't going to be an inconvenience for me to do something. Listen, I'm sorry that you're the only one that can drive me today. I'm going, what do you mean I'm the only one? You know, you're my Stephanie. You're Jeff Stephanie. Of course I can drive you. And those were special times. As she would sleep, I often had a laptop with me, and I'd be working on, you know, what the boring things pastors do, like sermons and writing things. And then I'd look at Stephanie, and I'd pray for her, because she was beautiful when she was there sleeping, going through the chemo thing. And I think, I know last night some of the gals from MCCM were there, and they just gave her such wonderful care. She made wonderful friends there during those times. She made friends with other patients that were there. It became a special place. Instead of a place that was filled with dread and pain, it was a place that became a place, at least to me, and I saw that with Stephanie, a place of love, as hard as it was. In our church format at Shiloh Chapel, we start out with music, and then we shift to what's called children's church. And during that time, we have several people that lead that, and they come up front, and our balcony platform isn't as high as this. We're only a one or two stepper. And then the kids come up front and sit on the floor and gather around. There's a little message for them. And, excuse me, after Stephanie started coming, I could tell she was just kind of chomping at the bit to do this. She just wanted to do this with the kids. So my friend John Anderson had been doing it, and I said, I think Stephanie really liked a chance. He said, oh, that'd be great. I need a helper. And when she started doing it, I think our little church instantly saw just how perfect her interaction was with kids. And we're not going to play it in here because I couldn't get through it in here, but one of our friends had a video from Mother's Day of Stephanie doing children's church with the kids, and the kids start acting up and fidgeting, and how Stephanie doesn't miss a beat with her lesson, but the kids don't get away with anything. And I think we'll have that playing, and I didn't bring my laptop, but after the committal up at the fellowship hall, we'll have it playing up there if you want to see it. It's a lot of fun to see. Stephanie loved spending time with her Jeffrey. Their love relationship meant time together. That would be, I think, her second love language, was quality time. And I get the hint of this because they'd only been going together for about a month, and Jeff was booked to go on a missions trip to Ecuador in July of that year. And we were very excited for Jeff. We had concerns for him too, because he was dealing with his own health issues, cystic fibrosis. But he really wanted to go, and Jeff's into photography, so it was going to be a fun trip for him to take pictures. And then I was watching how Stephanie processed this, and she was really concerned. She didn't like the idea of Jeff being that far away in a strange country and all these different things. And I thought, this girl, number one, really has fallen in love with my son. That's very evident. They'd only been going together 6 or 8 weeks. But also, she wants her Jeffrey by her side. Jeffrey spent a lot of time by Stephanie's side. And we all thank you, Jeff. He's been right by our side since the beginning of July. And it's been, while it was hard to watch, it was beautiful to watch. So we all thank you, Jeff, for your ministry to Stephanie. You were together. I want to mention someone else that you've seen in the pictures. His name is Bruce. Brucey is Jeff and Steph's little dog, and was a gift by Alex and Carolyn Norzo. He's as cute as can be. Yeah, you can tell a little bit by that picture. Bruce is full of mischief. Bruce is a pill. but we love him. And he instantly got into our hearts, and they took him places. Well, here they are on a day trip, I think. And they had so much fun with Bruce. Stephanie fussed over Bruce like nobody ever should with a dog. Just my opinion. I like dogs, but I don't love dogs, and there's a real difference. If you're a dog lover, God bless you. But anyway, Bruce was very special to Stephanie. And I can remember times when Bruce was naughty in my house, and I'm a very dominant male problem, and I would get after Bruce. I believe in that the dog should not necessarily have quite as much free rein as Stephanie believed. And so I would speak sharply to Bruce or grab him sharply, and I learned very quickly that was not to happen. Stephanie loved Bubba. I'm Bubba to my grandkids, but watch out with Brucey, buddy. But we figured it out, dear Brucey. And Bruce holds a special place now in all of our hearts, I think more than ever. He was so much of Stephanie's life this past year and a half. And I thank you, Carolyn and Alex, for, even though he is still a pill, bringing him into their lives, because he brought so much joy to both of them. And it was interesting how this played out, because from the get-go, Stephanie was not a hinter. She would pretend that she's making a hint, but it wasn't much of a hint. She'd just say it. She'd say, "Oh, I love puppies, Jeff. I love puppies." And Jeff would say, "That's nice. We have a cat." And I thought, there will be a puppy in that house. Brucey came along. Well, I'm sure many of you have many thoughts too. Stephanie's hugs, her hairpins that her sister Emily made, cupcakes. We're going to have cupcakes this afternoon. Stephanie loved cupcakes. All of her smiles and facial expressions. Lois and I were going through pictures, the family's been going through pictures. Stephanie is either smiling, laughing, or making a face. Those are the only three things. It's not just a pose. It's just she's smiling, laughing, or making a face. It's one of those three things. Last December, my niece Sarah got married to her now husband Ben, and they were out of state, far away in their marriage. But so they came to Maine. We had kind of like a special time for them at my brother, Reg and Jan, their home. And Reg and Jan sang them a song. And I had heard the song because we'd watched the movies. It's from the movie Tangles. It's kind of a cartoon movie about Rapunzel and the long hair. It's an absolutely beautiful song. And Reg and Jan sang it for their daughter and new son-in-law. And we sat there and thought, wow, that is beautiful. Stephanie did more than that. She wrote it down. And she put it in a little book so Jeff could pull it out for now. So this is a very beautiful song and very appropriately offered here, thinking of Jeff and Steph. And it's got some double meaning in it that's absolutely perfect. So Reg and Jan, God bless you. Yeah. That was beautiful. Thank you. As I said, tissues are not enough. We need a wet vac. Stephanie didn't just pick out music and who would share today. Stephanie picked out scriptures. And when I was told what she picked, I just marveled once again that she would pick these out because they are so appropriate. And I'm obviously familiar with these scriptures. They mean everything to me. Maybe these scriptures will be new to some of you here. I hope they will be a glimpse into this process, this thing that we call death, which, because I believe that Jesus really came and really died and took our sins and really rose again so we could conquer death, that this is more than just, quote, funeral talk. This is the reality. Stephanie picked the passage from John chapter 14 where Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms." The older translation says mansions, and I usually read from a newer translation, but I've been taken to task on this. We like the thought of mansions. Okay, it's all right. Pick what you want. "And my Father's house has many mansions. If that were not so, I would have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." "Yea, Thomas," he said, "no, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered these words, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Stephanie did come to the Father through Jesus. She'd been raised in a Catholic home, but had very obviously put her faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and I'm so grateful for her Catholic teaching. This was a girl strong in her faith when she met Jeffrey. It was an easy fit. Further on down in John chapter 14, Jesus said these words, and she had specifically highlighted this verse for me to read. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid." Why? Because Stephanie is with Jesus. The other passage is from Paul's writings in 2 Corinthians 4. And I don't know when Paul wrote these words that he understood that he was writing something that we'd be reading 2,000 years later and finding the power and truth that's there. Maybe he was aware of it, maybe he wasn't. We'll find out when we meet him. My feeling is he's just writing out his heart. He's saying, this is how it is. This is who we are when we have Christ. Where he wrote, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed." And I think, Mario, your priest, whether he thought of this or not, this may have been in the back of his mind. "We always carry about in our body the death of Christ so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." And then skipping down a little further, Paul writes, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen before us here is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Stephanie is with Jesus. Her spirit is there, and someday, maybe not too far away, the Bible teaches us that her spirit will be united to a new body, one that will never know disease, sickness, cancer, all of that's gone. My question is, and I feel comfortable asking it, knowing Stephanie as well as I did, do you know the Jesus Stephanie knew and knows? If you do, then you are right now and will find the comfort and strength that Stephanie found through her 2.5-year battle with cancer, that Jeff and our families are finding right now. If you don't, you can come to him right now. You can just come and say, Jesus, I need to know you as Stephanie knew you. And you can find, it's not about what church you go to. God forgive us when we've made Jesus complicated. Because he's real, and he saves, and he does give eternal life. He does sustain. That's my testimony. That's Lois's. That's our family's testimony. He does sustain us. He does heal, not just the body, but the spirit and the soul. And he's here for us right now. We're going to sing 3 more songs according to Stephanie's wish. But before I do that, I want to very specifically give some thank yous. And you know, we're in what I call the high-tech church. I wish I had done it properly. We could have scrolling credits, like movie credits of thank yous. Thank you, bus boy number 2, whoever you were. But this is just, I call it a sampler, because so many of you and people that aren't here today have ministered to Stephanie and Jeff specifically, but to all of us as well in the family. As I mentioned, Pathway Vineyard for letting us use this beautiful church. If you had come to my church today, some of you would be in the parking lot. It wouldn't have worked well. So we're so grateful. All of us are very grateful for the staff nurses at MCCM, the Maine Center for Cancer Medicine in Brunswick, and at Midcoast Hospital in Brunswick. I want to add a story to this, though. Stephanie fell in love with there. She trusted her doctor. She saw, other doctors for other opinions, but she, was very satisfied with her care and treatment here in Brunswick. One night she was feeling very ill. Jeff was at work in Falmouth, which is roughly a half-hour drive from his home in Sebattis. And Stephanie was really having a bad time and needed to go into the hospital. So she called the local ambulance company. And those of you that know the geography around here can picture this. If you're from away, you're not a real Mainer, I'll try to explain it to you. But they're in Sebattis. Their ambulance service is based out of Lewiston. And Lewiston has 2 hospitals as well. So when she called in, she said, I need to get to the hospital. I've already called the doctors. They said, okay. The ambulance comes out to their house, and they're out in the country. And they said, which hospital do you want to go to in Lewiston? And Stephanie goes, no. I already told them. I need to go to Midcoast in Brunswick. And they said, well, we don't service Midcoast in Brunswick. Which hospital do you want to go in Lewiston? Well, Stephanie just fell apart in a flood of tears, which really worked. The ambulance crew pulled over, got on the cell phone, called their dispatcher, and said, this girl really wants to go to Brunswick. They said, take her to Brunswick. And Jeff and I were waiting in Brunswick. I said, here they come, and they don't have a clue where to drop her off. They were driving around in circles. But Stephanie loved the people there. All the different Susies in the infusion unit and Anna, there's like 12 Susies. There probably wasn't that many, but every time I went in, there was a Susie and Suzanne. They gave her excellent care, her doctors. Stephanie had many friends. Her family was wonderful in her support, but she had many friends who gave her hours and hours of support. Corinne, whom you've just met, her friends Melissa and Nikki and April and Marta. Thank you all. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Her Achieve co-workers, it was just, I'm still blown away by all. If you're here from the Achieve program, thank you again. It's just amazing. I don't know what your grocery bills were, but you kept Jeff and Steph's fridge overflowing all the time. There are 2 organizations that you probably saw mentioned if you've seen the obituary, and it's in the brochure, and I'd like to give attention to them for just a moment. The first is A Sister's Wish, and I was totally unfamiliar with this organization until after Stephanie was diagnosed with her illness, and they came alongside and did some wonderful things. And Jeff could correct me on this, but the idea was they sat down and they basically said, what are some of your needs? We'd like to help you with some needs that maybe financially you can't do. And they said, well, in our master bath, in our bedroom, that could use a little freshening. We'd really like a different shower in there. And they basically said, done. We'll get a contractor in, he'll measure it out, we'll do that. That was for Stephanie. And then they knew Jeff was dealing with an illness too, and they said, well, Jeff, what would you like? "What is it?" And Jeff goes, "I'd really like my driveway paved," as if they would do that. They said, "Done." Came out, put in the new shower, fixed up the bathroom, came out, dug the base out. And I'm the bad dad, father-in-law. I'm thinking, are they going to do this right? I'm going to go out and see that they do this. They did a beautiful job. That was a sister's wish. The other one is called the Dean Snell Foundation. And they actually serve in ministering to people that are at the Brunswick hospitals and dealing with illness. And they've been very generous as well. So you'll find the links to their websites on there. We really would, as a family, appreciate you supporting. The Dean Snell Foundation helped Jeff in many ways. And we've been involved with some of their activities. It's a great foundation. Andrew Scoggin Hospice, their staff and nurses. But then I think of outside of the ones that I've mentioned here in the scrolling credits that don't exist, but there are so many of you that gave gifts of money at just the right time. I think of the soccer fundraiser that Mario did early on, and Jeff and Steph had insurance, but then there were medical bills that were piling up beyond that, and that took care of that mountain. And then back this last January, I didn't know Mario's gifts extended to the kitchen to feed whatever we fed 300 plus people. And we did a spaghetti benefit dinner at Holy Trinity Catholic Church. And when I told people, we raised, that dinner raised over $6,500 that night. And they went, "What? Dinners like that raise maybe $1,000, $2,000. I said, "Yeah, people ate a lot." You know, but anyway, people were obviously very, very generous. And God has used these different things to provide for Jeff and Steph. So Jeff could take off an extended period of time from work, and he had that money in reserve that they could live off. People came to me at the beginning of the year, and they said, "We really want to help Jeff and Steph, and can we do this through the church?" And I said, "Well, what do you want to do?" And they weren't from my church. They said, "We want to pay their mortgage for the year. Several of us families are going to join together. We'd like to pay their mortgage for the year. Can we do that through the church?" And I talked to our church people, and they said, "Nah, we really shouldn't do it that way." I said, "No, it doesn't make any difference. Thought we'd check. We're still going to do it." So they've had their mortgage paid for the year. I mean, there's been blessing after blessing after blessing. God is with us. That's not just the Christmas message. That's what we've experienced here. I'd like to thank, too, my other family, my Shiloh Chapel church family. We're not a big church. But I will have to say, as a pastor, I couldn't be prouder because of the love and the prayers and the generosity. We do a thing in our church most every Sunday. It's canceled tomorrow, but we do it most every Sunday. We do a thing called Prayer and Praise. And the kids go to Sunday school, and the adults get together. And on an average Sunday, there might be 30, 35 adults, something like that there. And we have some coffee and some refreshments and stuff. And then we share needs, and we share good things. And somebody shares, and then they say, "Well, my friend of mine's sick and went to the hospital this week. Can we pray for a friend of mine?" Some of us pray for them. And then we'll usually write it down. We keep praying for them the rest of the week. We find out what's going on. Well, obviously, Stephanie's been a big focal point for us as a church. Last Sunday, we had a special time of prayer for her. I had told the church, I said, "Stephanie's health seems to be declining in a different way than it has been." And as my different church family members prayed, it was one of the most special times I've ever experienced in prayer for Jeff and Steph. Because we were praying with broken hearts, but we were praying with honest hearts. And we said, "Lord, you know, if you're going to take Stephanie home, that's okay. We don't like it, but it's okay. But we pray for Jeff. We pray for Steph's family." And somebody prayed in their prayer, "We don't like what we've been through, but you've changed all of us because of Stephanie. You've worked in all of us. It wasn't just Jeff and Steph. It was every one of us," as Mario expressed so well earlier on. We're going to sing two pieces now. And these are two pieces. Actually, we're going to sing three because I've added one to the set that Stephanie didn't add. And but it's very special. And I've got the okay from Jeff. I meant to get it from you guys, too late now. But Stephanie wanted this next piece. If the musicians would come up here and get ready. And the title of it is I Will Rise. It is a song about the resurrection and the hope that we have in our hearts because of the person and work of Jesus that, friends, this is not the end. Stephanie has stepped into eternity. For her, it's just the beginning. And when we get to what they technically call the bridge, but it's kind of the heart of the piece, we actually look into heaven. We listen into heaven. I hear the voice of many angels singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." And I picture Stephanie joining with relatives that have gone on before her, and that's just what they're doing. They're singing, "Worthy is the Lamb."
Praising you with the angels,
yes,
at your throne, praising you for that knowledge that she's given her family, that you can rest knowing that when you know Christ, as Stephanie knew Christ, you will see,
yeah,
her again.
Yeah.
And there is no better news.
Hallelujah.
So amen. Think it through. I mean, yeah. Let me preach it, Pastor.
Yeah, got it. You got it, girl.
But that, to me, if I say the same thing, I don't know where someone's heart is. But here in this church, I think I'm free to say it, and I know where Stephanie's heart was. We had talks.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, I'm one of those that got a card the very day before she left us to go with the Lord, and I will cherish those cards. I got a stack, but to get one that day.
Yeah.
So think about Jesus. Think about being able to see Stephanie again, man. That's worth it.
Well, yeah.
I'll be the Lord, but I'm excited.
Yeah. We're going to introduce a new one to you. Lois stumbled across this, but I don't believe in that kind of stumbling as a follower of Christ. I believe the Lord showed her this piece. Fairly new piece. It's actually a rewrite of an old hymn written in the early 1800s. And I probably didn't bring up the notes, but anyway. I'm not familiar with the writer. He was an unknown hymn writer to me. But as I was reviewing this and going over it and we were learning it, not too coincidentally, this man wrote it when he was 27, and he went to be with the Lord when he was 30. And it's like God had given him a glimpse into eternity. And Lois found it first, and she said, "Ronnie, you got to hear this song." And we sat together and cried and listened to it, and I went, "That is just beautiful. That is just beautiful." So we would like to teach this to you. I think you will learn the chorus fairly quickly. Rod's going to do the verses for us. And the name of the song is Endless Hallelujah. Okay. Almighty. Now we know Stephanie's up there joining that wonderful chorus. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. Jesus, we take your comfort and peace right now, knowing she is with you. I pray for strength for each of the family. For Mario and Amy, Emily and Andrew, and the little babies can't comprehend it now, but they will. For each one, Lord, for our dear Jeffrey, that you would sustain him, that when he feels like, I don't know if I can keep going, that all of a sudden he'll sense your angels are there. Yeah, you can keep going. We're with you. He'll remember all of us, and our love and prayers will just keep going and sustaining him. Lord, we thank you for Stephanie's life. There's a lot of us here. We know in reality this room could be double or tripled in number from all she reached out and touched with her love and her grace. She was a wonderful reflection of you, Jesus. You probably don't have the facial expression she had, but she was still a wonderful expression of who you are. We love you, Lord. We go in your grace and power. You're a great God. We're going to sing one more piece, and then I will have some directions for you.